Good morning. It is April, although obviously winter and spring are fighting with each other right now. But it's going to warm up sometime, for sure. Reminder, we have parish notices now, but reminder that we do have the pickle jar today during the closing hymn. So that is for local needs. Are there other parish notices to come forth before the congregation?
As most of you know, I'm going to go on a pretty long mission trip this summer to Costa Rica and South Africa, and a fundraiser I'm going to do is April 24th. I'm going to be doing a cookie buffet after church here, so just put that on your calendar, a cookie buffet for fundraising on April 24th.
Hi, I am selling... For the last week, preschool is doing their annual chicken barbecue with Gibson's Barbecue on the 17th. Ticket sales end on the 5th, so I have a few with me today. They're $8 each. Great way to go ahead and just leave church, pick up lunch, and no cooking.
We have the leaflet in your... Come on up, Katie. We have the leaflet in your bulletin for the girls' night out. Take a look at that.
This year, the Crestview National Honor Society and Slastic Bowl are teaming together to put on a Kids Against Hunger event, and today the pickle jar is going to go towards that, and I have a little video about it.
Two hours, depending upon the number of
All right, so like the video said, we need a lot of volunteers. We're mostly looking for Crestview High School students because we're trying to get everyone in the school involved in this. So if you know a high school student that isn't very involved, tell them to go. And any donation you make is very appreciated, and we appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Katie. Dave.
I just want to apologize about not getting the list of the ushers out to everybody this year, but we had so many changes and everything, and if you got ushers coming up, and if there is a change, I will contact you on the change or anything, but if you got last year's sheet, it's almost identical, but out here where the flower list is and out by the janitor's station, those there will be updates on the posting of your ushers, and I want to thank all of you for doing a great job.
Thank you, Dave. Any other parish notices?
Morning. I am so glad that you're here. I hope that you will be glad that you're here as well. We had kind of got the ball rolling on Easter, getting kind of a little crazy in the morning with our worship. And today I want to continue that. The whole theme for this morning is being undignified. And so we are talking about worship and how we worship. And there is a song that we're going to do. And it is going to be on the screen only, and I want to introduce that to you. So when we come to it, there'll be a song on the screen that we're going to invite everyone to sing along with. And also, there is a video of a song before the sermon that does have lyrics. You can sing if you want to. You don't have to. I thought seriously about having everyone stand up, and there's a point where it says, and all become even more undignified than this, and have everybody do something really undignified. But I decided against that. So I just want you to know that our theme this morning is to have fun, to worship God, to be totally abandoned to God in this. So it just is a word of preparation for that.
Pastor Melissa, any other parish notices? Well, then, in an active way, let's prepare our hearts for morning worship. Please stand for the opening prayer. Through Christ, we have all the benefits of knowing God. He who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. He has chosen us for salvation. We have been adopted as his children, forgiven. There's insight through the gifts of the Spirit and the power to do God's will. We have the hope of living forever with Christ because we have an intimate relation with Jesus Christ. We can enjoy these blessings now. All these things we pray in your name. Amen. The Lord is in the house, O church.
Let us be faithful to worship the Lord with all our hearts and all our strength and all our might.
Let us dance our dance of joy unashamed to praise the Lord our God.
We lift in God our unbridled joy.
Let us join together in the hymn, Lord of the Dance.
Thank you.
take this time to greet each other in the passing of the peace.
Jesus loves me. Good morning, you guys. Do you guys know what it means to be embarrassed? Have you ever been embarrassed before? Ever have anything embarrassing ever happen? No? Yeah? Yes, you're right. First day of school can be really embarrassing. I will tell you that when I was your age, my mom made me take ballet lessons. And I loved them. But you know what? We had a recital. We had this thing where we had to do a performance in front of everybody. And I'll give you a clue. I wasn't very good at it. But you know what? I didn't know it. So I was all like dancing around, but I was more like tripping over my own feet, you know? And then it was kind of embarrassing because I'd look and nobody was doing what I was doing. I was kind of off on my own doing my own thing. And when I was in the fourth grade, I wanted to have pierced ears so bad. But my parents said no, they wouldn't let me. So I took a shower curtain thing for our school pictures and put it on my ears. And I went with shower curtain things to fourth grade. And I rocked it. And my mom got that picture. And she's like, I think maybe the teacher even called her and said, your daughter's wearing shower curtain things on her ears. And thinks that it was really embarrassing. But even people in the Bible got embarrassed. Did you know that? Or that they were embarrassed other people. So today, we're going to talk to the adults about King David. And King David, he did not care. He danced. He loved the Lord so much that he was passionate about it. And he would dance and he would sing and he would play instruments and he loved it. But other people were like, oh no, that is just not becoming a king. He shouldn't be acting like that. He was like wild. You ever see anybody in class get wild? I remember one time in first grade, there was a kid, his name was Ian. And the teacher told him, Ian, if you get up and dance on that table one more time, you're going back to kindergarten. So, you know what happened. She caught him again, dancing on the desk. Back to kindergarten he went. I'll never forget that. But the Bible tells us that when you are praising God, have you ever seen me up here sometimes? I'm like, you know, it almost looks like I'm doing like the dip for Jesus here. But, you know, you guys might think, well, that's really embarrassing. I can't believe our pastor is doing that up there. But when you're passionate for God, there isn't anything that you need to be embarrassed about. We sing, we dance, we have a good time in church because we love the Lord and he loves joyful worship. Let's pray. Heavenly and gracious God, we thank you for joyful worship. We thank you, Lord, that we have abandon our hearts, Lord, to you. That we just give everything that we have in praising and worshiping you because we know, Lord, that where the Spirit is, there is action. And we are just filled with your Holy Spirit. So we give you thanks We ask that you just bless these kids today, Lord, and keep them safe this week. Amen. All right. I'm going to pass, have you guys, I'm going to start two ways. You start that way. You start that way, and we're going to speed this up a little bit. So, you know, I don't know if there's another half-eaten sucker in there. But other than that, just grab two, because one is for you and one is for someone else. Right. You tell them that Jesus loves them as you give it to them. So grab those. Got them? All right. Thanks, guys. And we're going to do prayer a little bit different this morning because of time. So we're going to pray all at once, so I don't need anybody to help me out this morning. Got them? I'm not going to have anybody this morning. I'm going to kind of do it myself, go on my own. But next week, I will make sure you can do it for me, okay? Remind me. All right, you guys got those? If you've got your suckers, you're dismissed. Thank you, guys. Got them? Awesome. Thank you. This morning, as we pray, I will lead us in prayer for all that are sick. And if you have someone, feel free to lift that name up. And all those that grieve, and I'll just kind of introduce it that way. Would you bow with me for prayer? Heavenly and gracious God, we thank you and give you praise. Remind us, Lord, that it is a joyful thing to praise you always and everywhere. Help us to forget about our image and to forget about what we look like to others and to just really just be abandoned to you, oh gracious God. We thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you, Lord, for living in a place where we can experience all four seasons in one day. We thank you, O gracious God, for your patience with us. We pray, O gracious God, you've put it on our hearts, Lord, that we pray for those that are sick amongst us, for those that we care about and that we love, Lord. We pray, Lord, for those that are on our prayer list, and we pray and lift up those folks that struggle, particularly those that have chronic illnesses, gracious God. And Lord, we have been praying for Annie. My heart is there all the time. And as a congregation, Lord, we continue to pray for miracles. We have heard the good news that there's small progress. We give you thanks and praise for that, gracious God. We know that it comes from you, that you are the God of healing. And we continue, oh, Lord, with all that we have and all that we are, for that miracle. We pray for the biopsy to come back with good news. We pray, Lord, that this morning as they take her off the machine, that she'll be able to breathe on her own, that her lungs will be filled. We pray, Lord, that you put your hands on her lungs and that you put your hands on her heart and that you would just heal her, gracious God, that you continue to work miracles in and through her and that you would give hope to our broken hearts as we pray, oh gracious God, in agreement with one another for that. We ask you as a community to hear those prayers. We lift up also, Lord, those that continue to be sick. Lord, we lift up Bev. Lord, we lift up those who grieve today, folks who have lost family members this week. There have been accidents on the road, Lord. There have been fires. There have been places of brokenness. So we lift up those families who grieve. We lift up our country, O gracious God. We lift it up to you that you would give us wisdom. Lord, we pray for direction, that we might follow you, that we might find the wisdom of the ages, Lord, that keeps us from foolishness. We pray, O gracious God, for the countries around the world, for the places of brokenness, for the places of need. We pray, Lord, for Crestview as they find food and do missions, O gracious God, as they learn, as you put it on their heart, to care about one another, to care about people they've never met before that are in need. And we pray for those who need clean water and freedom from malaria and all the different diseases that are so prevalent around the world. We pray these things as we pray the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I invite you to join with me in the Wesleyan prayer, as it's printed in your bulletin. And we'll say it together. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for thee, or laid aside for thee, exalted for thee, or brought low for thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen.
At this time, if the ushers would come forward, we'll collect the morning offering.
Thank you.
Let us give thanksgiving together. Creator God, we give back to you in praise of your glory. We don't want to just praise you with our songs and words and hands, but we wish to praise you by loving our brothers and sisters in Christ. Take these gifts that they may serve your kingdom. Amen. Please remain standing as we have the hymn, "We Are Marching in the Light of God." It'll be on the screen.
Now, this is the song I was talking about, and so it looks to me like I've got the back choir and the back choir, and I've got the east choir and the west choir over here. So there's a little place in this where you have to do this. There's a ooh. So can everybody give me a ooh? Okay. So just know that that's coming. Feel free to do the ooh. And I will tell you that I have totally thrown Linda and Keith off this morning. We have three different ways we want to do this. So we will see how it goes. Let's do the next two verses. We have two more verses. I'm way ahead of everybody. I'm way ahead of the music, and I'm throwing them off. So I'm just going to stop and let Linda lead. And so I apologize. I'm just way too exuberant for this. Amen. You may be seated.
Our New Testament reading comes from Ephesians, written by Paul. It's a letter to the new Christian churches. And it's Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 14. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us in the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory.
And our Old Testament lesson that focuses us today is comes to us from 2 Samuel, and it's chapter 6, verses 1 through 5 and 12 through 23. Then David again gathered the elite troops of Israel, 30,000 in all, and he led them to Bala of Judah to bring back the Ark of God, which bears the name of the Lord of Heaven's armies, who is enthroned between the cherubim. They placed the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it from Abinadab's house, which was on a hill. Uzzah and Ahiah, Abinadab's sons, were guiding the cart as it left the house, carrying the Ark of God. Ahiah walked in front of the Ark. David and all of the people of Israel were celebrating before the Lord, singing songs and playing all kinds of instruments, lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. Then King David was told, "The Lord has blessed Obed-Edom's household and everything he has because of the Ark of God." So David went there and brought the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with a great celebration. After the men who were carrying the Ark of the Lord had gone six steps, David sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. After David danced before the Lord with all of his might, wearing a ephod, so David and all the people of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouts of great joy and the blowing of ram's horns. But as the Ark of the Lord entered the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked down from her window when she saw King David leaping about and dancing before the Lord. She was filled with contempt. They brought the Ark of the Lord and they set it in his place in the special tent that David had prepared for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord. When he had finished the sacrifices, David blessed the people in the name of the Lord of Heaven's armies. And then he gave to every Israelite man and woman in the crowd a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins. Then all the people returned to their home. When David returned to home to bless his own family, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet him, and she said with disgust, "How disgusting that the king of Israel looked today, shamelessly exposing himself to the servant girls like any vulgar fool might do." David retorted to Michal, I was dancing before the Lord, who chose me above your father and his family. He appointed me as the leader of Israel, the people of the Lord. So I celebrated before the Lord. Yes, I am willing to look even more undignified than this, even to be humiliated in my own eyes. But those servant girls who you mentioned will indeed think I am distinguished. So Michal, the daughter of Saul, remained childless throughout her entire life. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly and gracious God, we pray for a word that brings us joy, a word that we can learn from. And we pray, Lord, that the words of our lips and the meditation of our hearts are pleasing unto you. Amen. Well, in today's lesson, the lesson that we're focusing on is the second Samuel. And there was a job to do. David needed to bring the Ark of the Covenant back into the city of Jerusalem. It had been about 100 years since the last time we heard about the Ark. The Ark had been left, had been taken once again by the Philistines about 100 years before that and had been recovered. And it was sitting in some dusty corner somewhere in the desert, and they had not heard about it in 100 years. So David now decides that the time is for the ark to come home. And so he prepares it, and he knows that the Ark of the Covenant for all of Israel is a sign, is the place of God, that they believed that God sat on the ark, and so it was important for them. He also knew that the ark was made with lots of precious materials. It was made with gold and with bronze and all kinds of things. So it was other than outside of the religious implications of the ark, was the fact that it was really very valuable. And so the Bible tells us that he took 30,000 men to go and get the ark and bring it back into Jerusalem, which was his intention. So he goes, and they want to make sure that it's safe. So I thought to myself, you know, every time I stumble over something, every time I read something in the Bible, I go, I go look it up. So I thought, 30,000 men, even back in those days, that sounded like an awful lot of people. But I went back and found that in the census, David actually had at his disposal 300,000 men. So 30,000 wasn't that many in comparison. It was actually, a pretty small amount. So he takes 30,000 of the men, and he goes and he gets the ark. And I don't know if David thought that the rules didn't apply to him. I don't know if he didn't learn his Old Testament good enough. I don't know what, or maybe he just thought it was outdated, but he decides they build a cart to take the ark back into Jerusalem. And God had told them when the ark was built, very specifically, that it should be put on poles and carried on the shoulders of men, and that no one would touch it. If someone touched it, that they would die. It was that holy. And so David apparently ignored that. He built a cart. He put the ark in a cart and had an ox carrying it. Well, the cart hit a rough spot in the road, and it began to dip. And so Uzzah was afraid, and he loved the ark, and so he just naturally bent down to touch it to make sure it didn't fall out of the cart. And we know that he was struck dead on the spot. Uzzah paid the price for David. He paid the price for David's lack of attention. The text tells us that Uzzah and Ahiah, sons of Abinadab, were guiding the cart and the ark of God on it, and Ahiah was walking in front of it. David and all the Israelites were celebrating with all their might before the Lord, with castanets and harps and lyres and cisterns and cymbals. Imagine the scene. 30,000 celebrating. You know, when we hear 30,000 troops, we think that they must have been like marching. But it doesn't tell us that. It tells us they were celebrating. They were excited. They were filled with joy. And then they have this place that they drop the cart. Uzzah dies. And David begins to think, God must really be mad about this. So instead of taking responsibility, he decides to drop it off at the first place he can. So he takes it to the home of Obed-Edom, and he leaves it there, just in case God was still mad. So he goes back to Jerusalem, and a couple of months later, he hears word that all of Obed-Edom's family was blessed. That they, because of the Ark of the Lord, they were like having an Abraham experience. They were, you know, they were their worth was growing, their cattle were, they were getting all kinds of things. They were being blessed. And so David says to himself, I want that. I want the blessing. God must not be mad anymore. And I want the blessing for the city of Jerusalem. So he goes back to get the Ark. And this is where the story gets interesting. Remember that they went with all kinds of music and all kinds of instruments, and they were jubilant. They were bringing the Ark back into the city of Jerusalem. Now, the Ark had never been there before. So this is significant. It's significant because now Jerusalem is seen as the holy city. This is the first time that they see Jerusalem as the house of God, that God is there. It's the seat of God. And I want you to hear this. It says, as the ark of the Lord went entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched him from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and it kind of leaves us as, so far, so good. David is thrilled. He's thrilled that the ark is back into the city, and the whole city is celebrating, and everyone is jumping up and down with great joy, except for his wife. Except for Michal. See, David had married Saul's daughter in an attempt to unite the families. We don't really know what the nature of their relationship is, except that she is his wife. And she is not happy one little bit. So she peers out the castle window and she sees the new king, her husband, acting like he just won America's Got Talent. And the text says, it says, she despised him in her heart. That is some heavy words. Not like she was disappointed in him. She despised him in her heart. The synonyms for despised are hate, loathe, detest, abhor. What had he done? What had he done that had caused so much emotion, so much feelings from her? Well, we find out soon enough, but before we do, we have to hear what happens next. The text says that they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in the place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David sacrificed the offerings, gave people all kinds of things, cakes and cakes of raisins and whatever, and that they went home to bless their families. All the people went to their homes. See, this was a typical coronation for a king. This is exactly what would have happened. And David was newly anointed as king of Israel. But David brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. And so, at least symbolically, David was saying, God is our king. We are having a coronation. We are coronating God as our king. And so he wore priestly garbs. He didn't have the royal robes of the kings on. He had on the priestly garbs. And so he goes back to his own house to bless it, but before he gets there, his wife comes out to meet him and says, oh, how the king of Israel is distinguishing himself today. Going around half naked, in full view of the slaves and the servant girls, just as any vulgar fellow would do. Can't you just hear that? In truth, David wasn't half naked. Like I said, he was wearing a priestly garment. He was wearing royal, but he was not wearing the royal robes. Clearly, she didn't think that the king should be seen in anything other than his royal robes. See, I think that impressions were important to her. And I get that. In her day, the slave girls would have gossiped. They would have seen it. You know they would have talked about it. And she was embarrassed for herself. He embarrassed her. She was embarrassed in front of her servants. It had caused her embarrassment. But David wasn't at all concerned about what the people thought. Instead, he was fully immersed in the moment. And he said to her, "It was before the Lord that I was chosen. Instead of your dad or anyone from your dad's house, when he appointed me ruler over Israel, I would celebrate before the Lord for all of that. It was the Lord who anointed him, and he knew it. He said, I will become even more undignified than this in order to honor my God." See, I think the reason why I like this lesson is because I think that we are all so much like McCall. Not in her hatred or in her fear for embarrassment. Can't you just hear her saying, dripping with sarcasm, "Oh, how I bet you showed off today, half naked, running around." And actually, I feel her pain. I get it. I know what it's like to be embarrassed, as I shared with the kids. I remember in my junior year in high school, it was prom. I went to an all-girls school, so we had to ask the guys. My date shows up, and granted it's the 70s, but he's got the big purple plaid pants on and a purple jacket that matched and no flowers. I get it. And like the people of profound faith throughout the ages, David was willing to risk being misunderstood and humiliated as he pursued that even deeper relationship with God. Through David's pious actions, we can see that there might have been some embarrassing moments, but David was willing to become even more undignified than that. And according to the scriptures, I don't know how he could have been. He was very demonstrative. He said he would allow himself to be humiliated. The word is sabhal. He describes it as total abandonment. He was totally abandoned to God, and he didn't care what anybody else thought. And we know that there are several places in worship, that have no room for restraint. In our praise, in our prayers, and in our demonstrating our belief in God, folks, we have done this to ourselves. I don't know when it began. I know it was way before our time, but somewhere along the line, the church became civilized. There's a great, anybody watch Rocky? Anybody Rocky fans? There's a great line in the movie Rocky where Rocky has finally like won everything, and he's getting older, and he looks back and he's calmed it down. And his manager, Mick, says to him, "The worst thing happened that could happen to a fighter. You got civilized." See, I don't believe that God intended worship to be entirely civilized. Nor do I think that God wants it to be chaotic, but somewhere in the middle. Somewhere in the middle. One of the words for worship in Hebrew is halal, and it means clamorously foolish. And I don't know, maybe when God sees us worshiping, standing there, singing our song, sitting, standing, and hushing our children, maybe he thinks that's foolish. I don't know. William Temple, a bishop in the Church of England, said, "Worship is to quicken the conscience by holiness of God, to feed the mind with the truth of God, to open the heart to the love of God, and to devote the will to the purpose of God. All of this is gathered up in the emotion which most cleanses us from selfishness, because it is the selfless of all emotions, adoration. Adoration. So by definition, worship is the reverent honor and homage given to God. And I know that we're reserved people. I know that it's hard to abandon what we're told as children. I mean, I don't know how many people have sat in church and given their child a lifesaver and told them to be quiet, to just sit still and be quiet. But I want you to know that when the Spirit of God is present, there is an outpouring of emotion. And when there is no emotion, there is no Spirit. That's significant. When the Spirit of God is present, there is an outpouring of emotion. And when there is no emotion, there is no Spirit. A church that values utter silence by its people and its children is dead. Remember a couple weeks ago when the Pharisees told Jesus, "Take your disciples and tell them to be quiet." And Jesus responded, he said, if I told them to be quiet, the rocks themselves would sing. I think deep down inside, all of us are afraid of looking foolish. But we need to get over that and abandon ourselves just a little bit for passionate, abandoned worship. Let's pray. Heavenly and gracious God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for us, Holy Spirit, that moves inside of our hearts, that quickens us, that makes us want to lift our hands, that makes us want to swing and sway, to clap, and just to shout and abandon ourselves. Help us, O gracious God, to overcome at least a portion of what we've taught ourselves or we're taught by our parents, so that we can freely abandon you and the Spirit can feel free to move and act in this place. Amen. I'm going to bypass the video in for sake of time. And I invite you to join with me for communion. Did you want to do a prayer confession?
If you turn to your bulletin, let's pray together the prayer of confession. And you may remain seated. Oh God, you have called us by name and made us your family. Yet we do not always live as one body in Christ. We neglect to care for your creation. We forget that our neighbor is also our sister and brother. We ignore suffering in lands far away. Forgive us, we pray. Loosen the chains we place on our lives, chains of burden and business, chains of worry about appearances to the world, chains of ignorance and stress. Free us to praise you in wild abandon, as our brother David did, that we may dance and sing and the whole world would announce your praise. Amen.
That he gave himself up for us, Jesus, remembering the celebrations like the coronation, the blessing every time we break bread together, every time that we share a meal, shared a meal with his disciples. As he sat with them, he took the bread, he gave thanks for it, and he broke it. And he said, "Take and eat. This is my body that was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the meal was over, he took the cup And he gave thanks for that. And he gave it to the disciples, and he said, "Take and drink this, all of you. This is my blood that is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. This is the new covenant. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so we ask, O gracious God, that you would bless these gifts of bread and wine, that they may be the body and blood of Christ, that we may be the body of Christ redeemed by your blood until you come in final victory and we feast at your heavenly banquet. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. The table is prepared. Anyone who seeks to live in peace and in harmony with one another and who loves the Lord is welcome to the table. We invite you to come forward. I invite you to stand as we celebrate and sing our final hymn. God as our leader, how can we go wrong? Go with a joyful heart and praise God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.